Father, bless these words to our hearts. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And give us a portion from your throne. In Jesus' name. I have a question for you. I'm going to tell you something. I want to know if you believe it. I have a dollar in my pocket. Show of hands, do you believe it? If it were not so, I would have told you, John 14:2. I have a dollar in my pocket, do you believe it? I have a $5 bill in my pocket, do you believe it? Show of hands. If it weren't so, I would tell you. Do you believe it? I have a $5 bill in my pocket. Do you believe it? I have a $20 bill in my pocket. Do you believe it? I'm telling you, if it were not so, I would have told you. I have a $20 bill in my pocket. Let me see. There's a few who don't believe it. If it weren't so, I would tell you. Okay, here we go. I have a $100 bill in my pocket. Do you believe it? Show of hands. If it weren't so, I would tell you. I have a $100 bill in my pocket. Do you believe it? If it weren't so, I would tell you. How many people don't? There's two who don't believe it. Three, four who do not believe it. Okay. I told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I have a dollar bill. I have a $20 bill. I have a $100 bill. I told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. What, those of you who believed me, and I know who believed me and who did not. Those of you who believed me, why did you believe me? Yes. Because I said it? Yes. Never gave you a reason not to believe? Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Those of you who didn't believe me, why didn't you believe me? I told you, if it were not so, I would have told you.
Because
I play twisty games. Why didn't you believe me?
I evaluated the $100 bill on sight.
Okay.
On reasoning and not faith. Really did.
Okay.
I drew a line at that point. I
hate to say.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No.
Yes.
Like, it's against your character to like think that you would lie to us like that. Because that, like, your person cares about capacity and like lying to people about who you think and your capacity.
Okay. Why did you believe me?
At first I didn't believe that you had a $100 bill because I thought that would be improbable. But then you kept saying that, no, if
we must, so
yeah,
I would have told you.
And then...
You can't do anything but believe me so that.
And then I know that your character is not going to be one where you're going to tell us that and then deceive us.
Okay. Why did you believe it? Okay.
You quoted scripture there, and I know you wouldn't do that lightly.
Okay. Okay, is that why you believed it?
If you just said I have a $100 bill in my pocket, and that was the period, I would have done it.
That's what made you not want to believe me?
Yeah.
Okay. But I told you, if it were not so, I would have told you.
Yeah, but you also do that like, without scripture.
Okay.
But see,
okay.
I'm with you. Because if he says, yeah, I had a $100 bill, period, I wouldn't have believed him. Because he does. He yanks your chains all the time.
Yeah.
But as soon as he said...
Well, he gets it worse for me than the cancer thing. Yeah, he
did. Okay, here's the point of that. I have $100. Here's the point. It's a very light way of showing, but it is absolutely accurate. This is what we do to God. God says something. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you in James 14. If it were not so, I would have told you. I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd rather have mercy and not sacrifice. If it were not so, I would have told you. But this is what we do to God. And don't feel bad if you didn't believe me. But we don't know His character. Those of you who did believe me, all of you talked about one thing, character. Those of you who did not believe me, all of you talked about one thing, character. Your character is such that you'll play games with us. And yes, in a light situation, I do like to tease. But it was bottom line character. And I said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But you didn't believe my character. And that's not to you had a concept of the character. This is how we are with God. God says things to us, and we don't believe Him because we don't know His character. God says, yes, God, but you might be putting me on here. You don't know my character. Yes, God, but it's very improbable. You don't know my character. Yes, God, but there's no way this can possibly be. It's beyond your means. Actually, we're saying beyond my means. You don't know my character. What we're going to talk about today is the origin of faith. This is something that every believer needs to get a handle on. The origin of faith. You see, without faith in Hebrews 11:6, it's not possible to please God. That means no matter what I do in my life, if I don't have faith, God's not going to be happy with me. Where does that faith come from? Let's take a look at something. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2. If anybody finds a $5 bill, it's mine. Submit yourself to the elder. What's that? Wherein have we robbed God? In James chapter 2 and verse 17, the Word of God says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Didn't Paul say it's either of faith or it's of works? It's of faith, it's not of works, it's of works, it's not of faith. But James is saying something different here. James is saying, even so, if it hath not works, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. As the body, in paraphrase, is dead without the breath of life, so faith is dead without works. Am I then saved by works? No. I am saved by grace. I'm saved by the blood. I'm saved by mercy. So how do I have a faith, and what does it mean that faith without works is dead? You see, if my faith does not produce a sufficient faith response in me, that I will receive God's instruction, God's promise, God's word, God's character, the word of God, all these things that God has for me in the Bible, if I don't receive them to the point whereby it produces a faith response in the voluntary action because I trust, then my faith is dead. Then my faith has no life in it. If I cannot, if I believe the chair will hold me up, I can believe it till the cows come home, but I cannot benefit from it if I refuse to sit in it. I can say I believe the chair will hold me up, but if I don't sit in it, do I really believe the chair will hold me up? But if I sit in the chair and I lean back and I relax, then I am demonstrating the works of faith. I'm demonstrating that I believe in my heart that the chair is sufficient, and I have a faith response in the sufficiency of the chair to hold me up. And so I sit down and I rest. Faith is like that. If I believe in my heart that something is so from God, if I believe that God will supply all my needs, if I believe that He will bring somebody my way in due time, somebody from Him, then I will rest in that. And I will not need to pursue or chase or try to find something to satisfy. Because I have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So how do I get that faith? How do I acquire? What is the origin of that sort of faith? Well, in Habakkuk 2:4, the Word of God says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith." Now, this was Habakkuk talking right after Habakkuk 2:3. 4 comes after 3. It works really good that way. And he talked about the vision and the promises of God and how they are for an appointed time. And then he said, the soul that is lifted up is not upright within him, but the just live by faith. So what is this saying? That if I have a swollen soul, and that's what that means, lifted up. If I have a swollen soul, if my mind, my thinking, if my thinking and my natural evaluation, if my emotions, if my self-image is so large in my perception, then my soul is not upright within me. then there's a corruption in my soul that takes me away from simply trusting God. Thomas did not trust him. And so Jesus came and gave exactly what Thomas needed so that he could trust him. But he said, Thomas, and I'm paraphrasing, you would have been better off if you just believed without seeing. But since you needed to see, I'll give you what you needed. But you would have been more blessed if you simply believed. The soul that is lifted up is not upright within him. But the just live by faith. It's not a wishful thought. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think a lot of believers think that faith is a wishful thought. I wish it were so, and God, I hope you do it someday. Do you realize that is an oxymoron? God is not talking about wishful thoughts. God is talking about realities unseen. God is talking about things that are more real than this world that will pass away because His Word will never pass away. God is talking about things that He has done. Those cannot be moved. And so when I have faith towards the things of God, then I live in a way that God calls me just. And when I believe Him, He calls me His friend. It was an impossible situation for Abraham to face. I mean, after all, Isaac was the promised child. And now he says, give him away. But Abraham did not believe that. Because God didn't say, give him away. God said, put him on the altar. God said, don't let Isaac become your idol, Abraham. Put him on your altar. Let's take a test and see who you really believe. Do you believe the emotional desire that you have toward your son being your only son? Or do you believe my character and my nature towards you, that I have given you this child as a fulfillment of my promise to you, and you will in no means lose him? What do you believe, Abraham? And Abraham believed God. And there was his righteousness. His faith meant something. Faith produced an action of faith response and faith obedience. Trusting God the whole while. And Isaac asked, Father, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide Himself a sacrifice, a lamb. Isaac, he said, I'm to offer you, but I'm not going to be offering you. I know even if I get ready to stab you in the heart, I will not be offering you. God will provide Himself a lamb. And sure enough, his faith proved real. God did provide Himself a lamb, but first a ram in the thicket, and later a lamb. You see, why don't we believe God? Because there's something about His character that we just don't trust. We don't know Him. Not fully. God, maybe you're messing with me. God, this is highly improbable. God, this is not the norm. Why don't we believe God? Because we don't believe His character, that's why. We believe our sight and our natural understanding sometimes more than we believe God. We believe our ability to understand and to reason things through. We believe our ability to say, this makes perfect sense to me. There's your problem. God's thoughts are above your thoughts. You know what? I've never trusted anything that makes perfect sense to me. If God said to me to do something that was very easy for me to do, that made perfect sense, I'm thinking, I'm not so sure this is God. But if God said something to me that required me simply to trust Him because I have no other means of operating, then there's my assurance that God will be faithful. Don't you realize God's character can be trusted? If it were not so, He would tell you. God is not going to give you a promise or a call, or God is not going to say He'll answer prayer and not mean it. God's not going to put you on. If it were not so, He says, I would have told you. I'm walking in faith and I don't necessarily know my own steps because the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. But I'm responding to Him as best as I'm able. And I'm thinking, what if I'm wrong? If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. Oh, I can try to convince myself one way or the other, depending on my ability to trust Him because I don't know His character. And I may say, oh, I want it to be so, or oh, I don't want it to be so. And I can convince myself one way or the other. But if it is not so, God will tell you. I don't have to define it for myself. You see, this is the beauty of a life with God. I don't define my life with God. God defines my life with God. I don't define my call. God defines my call. I don't define my purpose. God defines my purpose. I don't define what will satisfy me. God defines what will satisfy me. Because I don't know. I don't know my own heart and you don't know yours. Your head is just as sick as mine. Your heart is just as faint as mine. God's ways are just as high above yours as they are mine. And so what option do I have? I trust God and I don't worry about it. Abraham did not strive to find a ram caught in the thicket. It was just there when the need arose. God stopped him at the very moment that he needed to be stopped in order for faith to be fulfilled. And then the need arose and God brought a ram and it got caught in the thicket. But we don't know God. Not like we should. How do I get to the point where I really get to know the character of God? You see, because if it were not so, He would have told you. You don't have to try to figure out if it's so. If it were not so, He would have told you. If He told you, then it's so. If it were not so, He would have said it. I need to identify the origin of faith if I'm going to be able to live in faith. If I'm going to be able to be pleasing to God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, the Word of God says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Isn't this what it is like sometimes? The Word of God comes forward from the pulpit, but I have not believed its report. And so faith was not produced in me because I have not believed its report. You see, in verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. That is talking about the auditory sense. It's literal hearing. Hearing of the Word. But if I hear and I don't believe, then faith is not produced. So how do I know if I can believe? Well, in Matthew 7:16, your Bible says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And this is talking about pastors. So how do I know if I can believe the person I'm listening to? What's their fruit? Is it a fruitful life? If it is a fruitful life, then it is a good tree, and the fruit will be good. Because if the fruit is good, the life is fruitful, the tree cannot be bad. It is not possible. If it were a bad tree, there's no way the fruit could be good. It is not possible. A life could not be transformed. A soul would not be saved. People would not desire things like Bible college and soul winning and vision and the things of God and the ways of God. How do I know if I can believe the preacher? What's his fruit? You see, if he's good, if he's speaking the word of God, then it will bring godly fruit. If he is not speaking the word of God, it will not bring godly fruit. What's his fruit? But once I have identified that the preaching is good, and if it's bad, get out of there and go somewhere where it is good. But once I have identified that it's a good tree, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once I have identified, I start believing. You see, what is it exactly about hearing the word of God that produces faith? Well, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the word of God says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what is it when I'm saying I'm not going to believe the pastor's message? I've actually rejected the word that became flesh. The pastor, when he is preaching the word of God from the pulpit, is giving me an infusion of the Savior. And by mixing faith with what I hear, by believing what he is saying, I am essentially receiving the Savior in a different way than for salvation, but for things like deliverance, for things like edification, for things that build the inner man, I am receiving the Savior again. Faith is produced when the Savior's life is produced in me, through the Word of God, because the Word became flesh. And so I'm receiving my Savior again. Oh, I've been saved one time, but I receive Him many times unto the building of my inner man. And I receive the Savior for this aspect of my life, and I receive the Savior for that aspect of my life. I received the Savior and His thoughts and His word and His action towards me for my jobs, my family, my relationships, for school, for work, the whole nine yards. And He is faithful to me. And it produces an effect in me. And the effect is called faith. In Hebrews 4:2, in the B part of the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Prophet, ophelesin, is the aorist active indicative. That means it has an action in the past. We don't know exactly. It doesn't matter where it began. But it does an action when it profits. In this case, it does not do the it is responsible for not doing the action. Indicative mood, dogmatic reality here. If I don't mix faith with what I hear, the word will make sure to produce no action in me. In other words, God will refuse. I hear, but I don't believe. And it produces no faith in me, and God refuses. Oh, I didn't trust the character. Oh, I trusted sight. Oh, I trusted reason. Oh, I trusted logic. Oh, I trusted the things of the natural man. But I didn't trust his character when he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Do you believe that God is going to leave you alone in this world? Didn't he say he would send a comforter? Didn't he say he dwells in you? If it were not so, I would have told you. It did not profit them. It did not increase them. It did not become useful to them. It did not help them. It did not profit them. Not being intermingled with faith in them that heard it. You see, here is the key to faith. The Word of God, believing when I hear from the proper pulpit, from the pastor I'm called to. Galatians 2:20, here's the third step. I am crucified. I am is actually have been crucified. It's the perfect passive indicative, perfect tense. It's a past tense, and it's used to describe an action that's been completed in the past. So I have been crucified with Christ. Done deal. It's already finished. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ, Christoi, in the instrumental case. And what he's saying is, Christ is the instrument by which the verb occurred. So Christ caused me to be crucified with Him, and it's already done. It's already finished. It's a reality. It's the fact of the matter. I have been crucified with Christ, and He caused me to be crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's not I. I live, but it's not me. But Christ lives in me. Present, active, indicative. That means it is a present, continuous action. He's producing the action, and it's a dogmatic reality. He's alive in me. And He's alive in you. And this is one of the reasons why we can trust Him, because He's alive in us. He's not a theological pie in the sky concept. He's a living God inside the heart of a man. He's alive in me. And so if it were not so, I would have told you is a very intimate reality. Because He's inside. And He knows everything that I'm going through, everything that I'm hearing, seeing, doing, thinking. He knows it all. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go and I do something and it's not right, then very quickly God will make sure that He tells me. Sometimes it's through a sense of conviction, but when the sense of conviction in my own heart, knowing that it's wrong and I do it anyway, then He brings the conviction through His pastors. Or through some other Spirit-filled believer. And He tells me it's not so. This isn't right. But if it is right, I believe. I didn't say if it is sight. If it is right. If it is from the throne of God, I believe. Abraham, put your son on the altar. God, I believe You and I trust You and I know Your character towards me. And I know that if You have given me the fulfillment of my promise, You won't take it away from me. And so here's my son on the altar. Because I know You, God. I know You. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Here's the key. Apart from the cross, faith is not possible. Do you understand that? Apart from the cross, faith is not possible. I cannot put my desires ahead of God's desires and say I walk in faith. Apart from the cross, faith is not possible. But when there's a cross in my life, when I am more concerned with God's ways than my own, when my own ways to me are nothing but dung, and God's ways to me are the ways of life, then listen what he says. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith of the Son of God, tetao hiototheo. And this is what it means. The faith which is in the Son of God. Do you understand what that means? This is saying that it's a comparison that Christ lives in me, and in the very same way that Christ lives in me, and there's a direct correlation, my faith lives in Christ. That means that Christ in me and the faith that is in Him is my faith. That means that as long as God can be trusted, there's my faith. And so what does it all depend on? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Hebrews 12:2, the Word of God says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author, Archegon, the originator, the founder, the leader, the chief, the first, the prince, as distinguished from simply being the cause. God is not the cause for my faith. God gave birth to my faith. God planted faith in me. He didn't just cause me to have faith. He was the originator of faith in me. He created it in me. I'll wait for them to come in. Okay. And finisher, teleitein, he's the completer and the perfecter, particularly one who reaches a goal so as to win a prize. This word is only used one time in the scriptures, and that's right here. He's the finisher of my faith. In other words, God created faith in me, and then He completes it. How does He complete it? He completes it to giving me the capacity and faith because I trust the love of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I trust the character and the nature of God. I trust the love of God towards me. I trust who God is. I know Him. And this is why I can't have faith without the Word of God, because without the Word of God, I don't know Him. I don't have Him, except maybe vaguely for salvation, but not for a life in Him. He originates, creates that faith in me as He indwells me, as He fills me, and as He moves in me, and as I mix believing with what I have heard. And you know what? He finishes it. He completes it and perfects it. And James told us that it's perfected when my faith results in a faith action. When my faith is alive in me and it produces a practical result. It produces peace that passes understanding. It produces faith rest. It produces a trusting in God. It produces a quiet assurance and a confidence that it all will be, everything in my life will be as God has said. This is my assurance in God. It doesn't, my assurance does not come through anything else. It doesn't come by sight or reasoning. It doesn't come by probability or logic. It comes because it was created in God in me, and I believe. And I believe because I know He loves me. I believe because I know He will not trick me. I believe because I know He will not lie to me. I believe because I know He is faithful. I believe because I know that His heart toward me is a heart of kindness and mercy and tenderness and gentleness, and that it's His good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And so I believe. And faith becomes alive. And I have the capacity to respond in Him because He loves me. In Galatians 5:6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Availeth, issuae, perfect active indicative." In other words, it does nothing. Circumcision or uncircumcision has produced nothing. It is capable of no activity. This is the dogmatic reality. My efforts, my natural efforts, my natural understanding, my natural reasoning, my ability to figure it out does nothing. My religious goodness does nothing. The only thing that does in me something is faith that is energized when I know the heart and the character of God. That does something in me. I know He loves me, and so I believe Him. I trust Him. I trust Him with every detail of my life because I know that He can be trusted because He loves me. Somebody who loves me doesn't deceive me. Somebody who loves me doesn't willfully, in a damaging way, play jokes on me. Somebody who loves me doesn't go out and lie to me. He may tell me things that are difficult sayings. He may tell me things that are too high for me at times, it feels like. He may tell me things that are difficult for me to understand. But He doesn't lie to me. He cannot. He's God. He loves me. He won't lie to me. You see, it's because He loves me that if it were not so, He would have told me. It's because He loves me that He's not going to stop being faithful to me. It's because He loves me that He's going to take me by the hand and guide me. And why I don't have to be able to figure it out. No, it's very simple. It's a faith that works by love. Faith works by the essential nature and the character of who God is. That's how it operates. That's how it energizes. That's how it gets its power and its energy and its efficacy. In Hebrews 11:6, where it said, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him." But what is, like, how does that work? What do we do? Why? "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." This is what it's saying. He that cometh to God must, they, present active indicative, present, okay, this was done in the past, active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb, that's me, indicative move. So I decide to come to God, I produce the action, and this is what I must do as I do that. Needs, is necessary, has need of, is inevitable in the nature of things. This is must. Believe. If I am to come to God, I must believe that He is, is, esti. It's the same word that was used in John 18:6 when he said, I am he. When they came looking for him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And they fell over backward. Why did they fall over backward? Because he was talking to them in the fullness of the authority of the character of God. He was talking to them as God. I am he. They fell over backward with the full character and power of who he is. And it knocked them over. This was the character and nature of God. In other words, I must believe God's character and nature if I am to come to him, and that if I come to him, he will reward me. He will reward them that diligently seek him. This is why we can trust him. Because when we come to him, when we trust him for the details of our lives, the relationships, the jobs, the education, the families, the whole nine yards, when we trust him for these things, he is my rewarder. There's a recompense for trusting him. So I have to believe his character if I'm going to come to him. If I don't believe his character, I will not come to him. I can't come to him if I don't believe his character. I'll be afraid. I'll think maybe he's putting me on. I'll think, improbable God. In my religious education, I know I can't say impossible, so I'll say, improbable God. Not likely, not how things commonly happen in the world. Peter, you're going to walk on water. Improbable God! No. Paul, you're going to raise the dead. Improbable! No. His character doesn't put me on. His character doesn't lie to me. His character doesn't make things up. His character doesn't lead me astray. His character leads me in faith. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. But I have to know that he loves me. You know, in the B part of 1 Corinthians 13:2, though I have all faith, though I believe so that I could move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. God has produced nothing in me if I don't have love. Oh, I can believe every single syllable of the scriptures, but if I don't know that he loves me enough to cause it to come to pass on my behalf, then I'm nothing. That he does love me enough. That's the thing. He does love me enough. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. By grace, God's government, are you saved. Sozemenoi. It's the perfect passive and participle. In other words, it was completed once and for all in the past, and I received the action. He's the one who did it. Grace did it. The government of God did it. And it's to save, to deliver, to make whole. To preserve, safe from danger, loss, and destruction. Deliver and make whole for the believer. The government of God delivers me from any elements of no faith. And it makes me whole. It perfects my faith. He is the author and finisher of my faith via his government through his word. It makes me whole through dia. Now get this. This is an interesting word. A place implying motion. It's a through a place. Faith becomes a place. So what it's saying here is that faith is the conduit that grace passes through to get to me. And there is my deliverance. Do you understand? Do you see why without faith I cannot please him? Because without faith there is no passageway, no conduit for the government of God to operate in my life. And so what happens? I don't believe there's no conduit, and so I start trying to do it myself. And so I live in the motions that I have. I allow them to become my cause because I have nothing else, because there's no passageway from God to me. Every sin that a person commits, they sin for one simple reason. No faith. They don't trust Him. Every time I get involved in the wrong thing, every time a guy talks to a girl he should not be talking to, or a girl talks to a guy she should not be talking to, they're doing it for one simple reason. They have no faith. Every time that I try to meet my needs for significance, for purpose, for love, apart from the ways of God, I'm doing it for one reason. I don't believe Him. I'm not believing Him. And so there is no passageway for God's authority and God's government to work on my behalf. This is why it says if you waver, don't think you're going to receive anything from God, because there's no passageway. And that doesn't mean isolated moments of thought where I'm not quite right with God and I disbelieve. Because Paul did say in Romans chapter 3 that if I live in unbelief, that does not make the faith of God void. Because He is still faithful to me. I just have a Thomas experience. Thomas suffered loss. Thomas suffered loss. God came through for him, but Thomas suffered loss. He could have believed just because the Savior said so. He told them before He went to the cross, in John 14, I'm telling you these things now so that when they take place, you'll believe me, Thomas. Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints, unless I can put my hand in the side, I'm not believing. But the tomb was empty. The fruit was there. He could believe. He could believe. But he didn't. And so he suffered loss. God was still faithful to him. But he suffered loss. You see, it has to be of faith if it's to be of grace. Let me ask you guys something. Do you want your lives to be of grace? Do you want your lives to be of the government of God? In God's activity on your behalf? Do you want your life to be something that is from the favor of God and you didn't even deserve it? Then it has to be of faith. That's Romans 4:16. It has to be of faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace. It has to be of faith. The grace of God is sufficient. The government of God is quite capable of acting on my behalf. And the character of God will not allow it to do anything other than that. Hey, if He gave up His Son, how much more will He give us all things? And He'll do so freely. That'll supply all your needs freely. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you all the desires of your heart. Seek first His kingdom and all those things will be added unto you. But if it's of faith, it'll be of grace. And if it's not of faith, it'll be of my own effort trying to satisfy something, and God calls it sin. Don't go there. Guys, do you know how dearly God desires to give? Didn't He stand in front of Jerusalem and weep because they would not let Him give? Really, wasn't that what they were rejecting? They wouldn't allow Him to gather them to Himself. Why did He want to gather them to Himself? Because He loved them. And He wanted to give them something. And they would not. because they did not believe. It's really that simple. It's a question of, do I believe? Do you believe the nature of God, the character? Do you believe that He'll put you on? Or do you believe your ability to assess probabilities and likelihoods with your sick head and faint heart? Did you know that you are full of bruises and putrefying sores? And how many of us rely on bruises and putrefying sores to get us through? No. I believe because He loves me and He wouldn't lie to me. I believe because I know who He is and I know His character and I trust Him. What's the fruit of that? How do I know I can believe that? His Son died on the cross. There's your fruit. His Son died on the cross. How do I know I can believe people? How do I know I can trust them? Fruit. One thing I've noticed, the people I can trust are the ones who are kind to me. The people I can trust are the ones who love me and they don't get angry with me. The people I can trust are the ones who show me mercy. The people I can trust are the ones that, even if I'm unlovely, love me anyway. And even if I reject it, they keep loving. Those are the people I trust. Why? Fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. Bad trees don't produce good fruit. Good trees don't produce bad. I trust God because I know His character. How do I know His character? The things He's done. The things He said. He saved me. I know His character. That's why in Matthew 9:29, He had to touch their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. He had to touch their eyes first. Their perception had to be changed. They had to have the right premise, right understanding of who God is and what He's done. And then, according to your faith, be it unto you. Do you know what the word according means? It's from the original language, it's kata. And it means a norm. In this context, it means a norm, a rule, a standard of comparison, meaning according to, conformable to, and after. Conformable to your faith. Letting your faith be the standard. It'll be done to you. What do you believe from God? Or what do you believe from your flesh? The only reason why God ever said He doesn't answer prayer is when we desire to consume it upon our own lust. But if my prayer, my heart, my trust, my hope is in Him, if my heart is pure before Him, there's nothing He won't do for me. And He'll do as much as I believe Him for. And no less, but no more. The first generation of Israel in the wilderness found that out. But God was still faithful to the nation. We are believers. We do not live under that dispensation. But the principle still holds. According to your faith, be it unto you. Do you know God's character? Well, then according to what you know that He's produced in you, according to that, be it unto you. Amen.